Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you brought us back here tonight together. We love being together because it reminds us of the first century when our brothers and sisters in Christ came together and worshiped you as we did this morning. And it's such a thrill to be with those that we love, to sing and to pray and to open your word. So it is our prayer tonight, dear God, that what we do will be in accord with your will, that we'll look back at that first century and we'll follow their examples and we'll follow your commands. And we're grateful for each one of these men, for the preparation they've made for tonight, but more than the preparation, for their hearts, for their love for you, for their love for their brethren, for their love for their and ability to worship you. So as they lead us tonight, we pray that this will be all about you and none about us, that if you give us the opportunity to lead, that's all we'll do is lead. But the worship, dear God, is dedicated to you. Please forgive us of our sins. Please bless our families as you have in the past. And be with us for a night of good worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. So as these men move from these seats, and a few men on the front would come and take one of these seats, that would be fine.
I'm going to lead off with scriptures. And I'm going to read two different scriptures. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. The one from the Old Testament is a warning against faithlessness, against infidelity to God, lacking obedience to His Word, and the results of that. And I think some of the saddest verses in the whole Scriptures. If you haven't guessed where it's at, it's at the end of 2 Chronicles. Not a very popular chapter, but it's very, very important words. It's in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 11 down to 21. 2 Chronicles 36, 11 to 21. Then I'll read from the New Testament. And this is about Jerusalem and what happens at the very end of Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him take an oath in God's name. He became stiff-necked and hardened his heart, and would not turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. Furthermore, all the leaders of the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful, following all the detestable practices of the nations and defiling the temple of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through the messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. Let that sink in. No remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all of the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rests. All the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Now switching to the New Testament, some very encouraging, happy words in Revelation 21. About the new Jerusalem. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
I will be reading from 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. And I'll be reading this from the New American Standard Version. "For the one who desires life, to love, and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ear attends to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil."
You open up your song books to page 745.
Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 9. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Please turn to page 39, or 539, Higher Ground. We're going to be singing all four verses. Again, 539.
Please turn to 837. 837. We'll do the first and last verse, please.
Most gracious Lord, Earlier, we read how God was forced to bring the Chaldeans down upon the children of Israel at the end of 2 Chronicles for their sins. If we turn to Micah chapter 3, verses 9 to 12, Micah 3, 9 to 12, we're given a little bit more insight into the sins that forced God to do this. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her head judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a pay, and her prophets to divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest.
The next song will be from 768 in the books. Jesus, Let Us Come to Know You, 768. There. Number 812, the name of God. You may not be familiar with this, so we're going to sing it twice through. The Lord gave us the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament's purpose. I got a pitch pipe somewhere. The Ten Commandments were given so that we might know sin. And the third of those was, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And that is something that our culture today often defies. And this song reminds us of the importance of keeping His name pure.
You open with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 43 through the end of the chapter. It's Matthew 5. This is a passage I like to think about when, though I may never have been persecuted in a major way, it's something I like to think about when I've maybe finished second or finished last because I wasn't willing to do things that the Lord wouldn't have me do. So verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Let's sing Hosanna, number 167. Number 167, Hosanna.
Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? This verse I especially enjoy because it tells a truth about humanity and the fact that we're all weak people at the end of the day. It doesn't take a special kind of person to recognize that fact. It takes a special kind of person to admit it. So starting in verse 7, Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
I will be reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 27. This is a passage that always reminds me that no matter what happens around you and no matter what is going on, the only thing you should ever do is follow the will of God, because he is always on your side as long as you are on his. Again, that's Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 19 to verse 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace and the blazing fire. For this reason, because of the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who had carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. The Lord will deliver as long as you are with him.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this evening and opportunity we have to assemble here and sing songs and pray to you and edify one another. We're so thankful for your written word that you've provided to us that we can learn from men of the past and provide good encouragement to those in the future. We're thankful for this group of Christians that meets here. We're thankful for all those teachers that work tirelessly behind the scenes to develop lessons from your written word. We're thankful for our leaders, our shepherds that help lead us in the path of righteousness, their dedication, their efforts behind the scenes that provide us with great leadership and vision for the future. And we give them the thanks. And their supporting wives that are also behind the scenes, but very much supportive of their work. We're thankful for individual Christians and their efforts to lead their families, to inspire the future for this church. We're so thankful again for all the dedication of the members here. Be with us through this time of worship. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to sing number 560, Living by Faith. Number 560. We'll sing all 3 verses.
I care not today, but tomorrow may bring the shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith, in Jesus above,
Please turn your songbooks to number 490. 490. I'd like to sing this a little bit different than we typically sing it. If we could, let's just sing the chorus after the second verse, kind of as a bridge. And then in the third verse, we'll pick up the tempo and the volume and finish strong there without the chorus at the end. When peace...
Turn your songbooks number 57, number 57. And if you'd like to, and if you're able, you're welcome to stand for the singing of this song. Okay, number 57, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And there is an optional ending listed there at the end, and we will sing that on the last verse. Okay, number 57.
So I'm going to be reading from the book of Psalms, the first chapter. And a story goes with this. When I was a little boy, 8, 7, 8, we owned some property up in the woods, and I got the pleasure to spend some time with Lloyd Copeland. We called him Pop, of course. He was my grandfather. And his favorite book was Psalms. And it's hard to talk about him sometimes because he's been gone for a while. But I have some memories of that man. And probably the best one was before daylight, it would always be Saturday morning. Of course, we wouldn't stay Saturday night because we had to be at services on Sunday morning. So Friday night, I couldn't go to sleep. Saturday morning, I'd wake up before daylight. And my dad would say, "What are you doing?" "I'm going to see Pop or going fishing." And I'd walk across the little yard there, and there he would be with a half a grapefruit and the Bible open to the book of Psalms. And Mama, his wife, she's sound asleep. She didn't wake up early. But he only ate half the grapefruit because the other half was for her. And we would read Psalms, and he would say, "Do you want to read it?" And yes, of course I wanted to. And it was always Psalms 1. Was his favorite, and so I'm going to read that now, and I won't really have to look at it close because he helped me. He helped me memorize it. And so here we go. Sorry about that. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
You would turn over to Deuteronomy. Tonight we've talked about how Israel messed up because they didn't do what Brother Andrews just talked about. And particularly lately, this passage has become more poignant and more scary for me. And this is Moses talking to the children of Israel. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you, for the Lord your God is in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. And you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massa. You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded you,
You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the land, good land, which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by driving out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all the commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us.
Well, that's been helpful to me, not only to sing and to read and to pray, but to do that with these men. Some of them I don't get to do that with often, and it's meaningful to me. It's helpful to me. So let's begin to close our service now. It's traditional in this church for us to, after an assembly near the end, to close by saying, if there's someone here that needs the prayers of this church or who has studied God's word and wants to be baptized, this would be a good opportunity to do that. In the scripture, we don't find the invitation or the song of encouragement or the invitation song necessarily there. It kind of went like this. In Acts chapter 2, you killed Jesus, let's stand and sing. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, you just the kind of people who threw Joseph in a pit, who sold him, and you murdered Jesus, let's stand and sing. They weren't nearly as subtle as we are today and tonight. But the truth is, sin in the first century was the same as sin today. Sin condemned Jesus to die on the cross. There was only one way to cover that sin. No bulls, no goats, no doves. You just couldn't kill enough animals, bleed enough animals to cover the sins of mankind. But instead, in God's wisdom, he offered through his son the perfect sacrifice. And then for us to be able to say, I accept that or don't accept that, are you kidding? If God is willing to do that, and Jesus is willing to do that, who am I to turn down that kind of sacrifice and that kind of invitation? So I think it's only fitting that we, at the end of every service, say to the people in the audience, if you would like to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, this is the time to do that. The baptistry is ready. The people are ready. We could help you do that tonight. And you, as Jesus was buried in the grave, you can be buried in baptism. And as he was raised to walk as a new man, resurrected from the literal grave, we are raised to walk as new men. Or if we've fallen away in some way and need the prayers of this church, Brother Todd is going to lead us in a song now. And if you need the prayers of this church, just come up to the front row. We'll help you with that. Let's stand and we'll sing.